All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, November 21st of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a four-game NBA main slate tonight. We have Thursday night football between the Browns and the Steelers. We had golf tee off earlier this morning. We have a 10-game NHL slate. And then we have a single college football showdown. So plenty of DFS action coming at you today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. Looks like we have a ton of questions to get us started today. So going to get SaberSim pulled up. Got the four-game NBA slate pulled up today as well. So let's jump in. We're just going to work our way from the top down. First question, with 30 minutes before lock, no late swaps because you don't have the time after lock and only SaberSim for research, what would be your process? What would it be for each sport? All right. So probably not the answer you want to hear. But if you do not have time for late swap, I would not be playing a sport where late swap is required. So for instance, right, we have like this four-game main. You know, if you're not going to be around at 4:30, 5 p.m., 7:30 p.m. to late swap, then you honestly shouldn't play this slate, right? What you should instead do is try and focus your time around showdowns, possibly. Like, hey, go and play the Detroit Charlotte showdown, right? On other days where they have like turbo slates, a turbo slate is effectively a slate where all the games start at the exact same time. So like they'll run these like 4:30 p.m. Turbo slates where it's like four games all kicking off at the same time. I would rather you play that, right? Because there is no edge that you're sacrificing by not being around to late swap, right? So showdowns, turbo slates, possibly a night slate, you know, where the games start within like a 30-minute window, right? I think FanDuel calls them express slates and DraftKings calls them turbos, right? So like turbos, night slates, you know, where there's like a 7 p.m. game and then a 7:30 p.m. game, right? That's one way to do it. I'm talking all West Coast time here. So those slates are going to be a lot friendlier to you when you don't have the ability to late swap. All right. Next question. If I set up two rules, for example, first rule, use two players with projection greater than 15 and salary less than 4.5. And then the second rule is use one player less than 4K. Will SaberSim use one player that would satisfy both rules if available or pick independent players for each rule? Good question. My understanding is that it would be independent. So basically it needs to find a player to put in the rule to satisfy rule one, and then find another player to put in the rule to satisfy rule two. And then the builder is not going to be like, hey, we already use this player who satisfies rule one. That player counts for both. You could test this, but my understanding is that the same way, like I know that you could set up 2-3 stack rules, and the builder has to satisfy the rule twice. So the builder isn't like, hey, we already have a three stack that satisfies rule one and rule two. It will not do that. It will put two different three stacks in your lineup each time using a different set of players to satisfy rule one and then satisfy rule two. So that's why I'm saying I'm like 90% positive that it's going to put the players for rule one in and then put a second player in for rule two. Even if it could satisfy both, it's going to meet the rule two different times. All right. Can you please show how to set up rules? For example, stacking MVP with two players from the same team. Thank you. There is not a good way that I'm aware of, at least, to do FanDuel specific showdown rules. And their reason for it is because, you know, if I, for instance, like I'm going to go to tonight's NFL showdown for DraftKings. So I go to this slate and then I go and I download the player table, right? So in this player table, you're going to see that Najee Harris is listed twice. We see Najee Harris up top, and then we see Najee again, right? So this is in regards to his captain and then his utility, right? The biggest difference here is that he has two different player IDs. The first one ends with 6-5. The second one ends with 1-5. These are effectively two different players in our database. So we're able to differentiate Najee captain from Najee flex due to this, right? FanDuel doesn't do this. FanDuel just assigns one player ID to Najee, and it inhibits our ability to separate him appropriately. We effectively have to build our own internal separating system, since FanDuel doesn't do that for us like DraftKings does, which is something that we haven't done yet, but we do want to do. It is on our roadmap to effectively build our own internal player differentiator for FanDuel single game sports. So that is what would be required in order to do the rules that you're talking about. So unfortunately, there's not a good way to do those at the moment. All right, next question. It seems number of dupes can be important in certain slates. I would agree with this statement. Can you show how one could do a build for tonight's NFL slate with a dupe rule of, let's say, I want 0 to 50 dupes max? Absolutely. So for this, you would want to use geometric mean. The way that this works can be found in our help documentation. So if I go to our support library, click view more under tutorials, and then in the search bar, I can type geometric, which pulls up this article, how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work, which I will drop in the YouTube chat for everybody. So this is a good way of estimating duplicates in a contest, right? So first thing you need to do is you need to have a contest. So let's say we are playing the $1.20 max tonight, right? 95K entries. And I'm just going to create this, right? This will be my contest sim. So I have 95K entries, right? Well, now you gave the example like, hey, I want no more than 50 dupes. Okay, great. So I have all the variables I need, because what I need is I need the number of dupes I'm shooting for, which is 50. So this is going to be effectively, we're going to do a formula to say no more than 50 dupes. So 50 divided by the number of entries in the contest, which is this 95,000 number, 95,124. You take that to the power of 1 divided by the number of players in the lineup, which for DraftKings, a showdown lineup has 6 players. And then you click equals and you get a number, right? This 0.284, we're going to round the decimal two places, and this effectively becomes 28.4. So what I now know is that, hey, lineups that are duplicated or lineups with 28.4 geo mean or less are expected to be duplicated no more than 50 times. That's great, right? So there's two ways you could apply this. Number one is you can apply this as a rule. Go into your rules, go to rule type aggregate. You do my own geometric mean no more than 28.4. And then when you do this, you click save and then you run your lineups, right? That's how you would do it if you're on the starter plan. If you're on the ultimate plan, you could do this a little bit differently, where you run a build. You go into your sorting metrics, you go down to add metric, and then you create a metric that says my own product geo mean value. What the value does is it actually calculates the geometric mean of your lineup by multiplying the ownership percentages together, and then it spits out a number, right? So like for this top lineup, the geo mean is 22.57. So that's under the threshold, right? So you would build your pool, you would build your custom metric, you would go to your lineup filters, and then you would create a lineup filter that says show lineups with geo mean less than, and then you put in the number that you just solved for, which is 28.4. Now it will go and find any lineups that are in your pool that are above this threshold and put them in the trash. So if I remove the question, we're going to see that we have two lineups in the trash. because there were two lineups over this threshold. So that is how that works. All right. Next question. Andrew, what's your general strategy on the night slate versus the regular main slate? This is a good question. You know, for me, it's always going to depend on the number of games on the slate. So from studying contests and contest flashback, I've personally noticed that duplication on NBA slates becomes more important when there's about four games on the slate, right? So I don't differentiate by like main versus night, but I'm always paying attention to how many games there are on the slate. So even today, there are only four games on the main slate. It is a main slate, but there are only four games is basically what I'm saying, right? So like I would probably be doing something to account for duplication because it's so small, right? On two game slates, I'm doing the same thing. Three game slates, I'm doing the same thing. When we get up into like the 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, 9, 10 game NBA slates, I'm less worried about this based on the contest review that I've done to this point. So basically any slate that's like four games or less, I start to think about duplication, start to apply a geo mean filter, start to, you know, be more aware that that's a potential problem, right? So starting with a geo mean filter on four game slates can be good, and you can get more aggressive as you need to with, you know, typically the salary will open up. If you get into like a 2-3 game slate, you'll see your minimum salary go down for some of these slates. So that's always good for duplication purposes as well. But geo mean filter, some ownership filters are good. Being aware of how much ownership and how much salary you're using, right? So think about those things as the slates get to about four games. But I'm not doing those things for bigger 10-game, 8-game slates, things like that. All right, while filling into the contests, what are the advantages or disadvantages while using individual versus or using direct versus autofill? Okay, good question. So the biggest difference between the two, right, is one, speed. So autofill is a lot faster. And then number two is going to be that direct fill averages ROIs. This is probably easier to show. So let me just go. I have some entries for this NFL slate that are technically late swap, but we could just import and build it as like fresh. All right. So I played this Monday to Thursday NFL slate, right? I'm going to treat this as like a non-late swap scenario, right? I'm going to treat this as like I'm building before the slate even happens. So I come in here and run some lineups. And I'll just use SaberScore. I don't need to use Contest Sims for this. Or actually, I probably should use Contest Sims. Let's go turn off the live use data, because I don't want that to skew the contest sim. All right, so let's run this. And once this finishes, we'll be able to do this. All right, so contest sim is done, right? So notice right now, I'm in direct fill. Notice number two, I'm sorting by ROI. But what's happening here is because I have so many contests, the ROI across the contests is getting averaged out. So I have all of these contests selected, which is, I don't know, 10-ish contests maybe. So the builder is adding up the ROI and then dividing by the number of contests, finding the mean ROI for each lineup across the set, right? So that is not always great, right? And the reason for that is because, see here, I have a daily dollar single entry with 502% ROI. And then if I go a little higher, I have a red zone single entry with 125% ROI. So one contest, it grades out really, really well, 500%. Another contest, it grades out fine, but not as high at 125%, right? I'm getting an average benefit So I kind of don't want that, right? I want to be more specific. So what autofill does is it effectively, it goes through this process. It goes top down. It unchecks all the contests, checks the top contest, resorts the lineups by this specific contest's ROI, fills the lineup, moves on to the next and does it again. So there's no averaging here. It is a contest by contest sorting. So it's giving you the best lineups for the contest that it's that is checked and then moving on to the next, moving on to the next, moving on to the next. To get that same effect in direct fill, what you would have to do is you have to go into this dropdown, uncheck all the contests, check one, let the builder refresh, which is resorting the lineups right now, fill these contests by clicking save, and then go check the next contest, let it resort, and go again. That is effectively what autofill is doing. So it's saving you a lot of time by doing it automatically, right? Autofill is going to take less than 30 seconds typically to go through that entire process, and that could take you, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to do, depending on how many contests you have. So that's a big thing there. I would say an advantage of direct fill is that you get to see your exposures before you build the lineups, right? So when you are using autofill, you don't get to see your exposures until after. So you click save. And then once the contests have been all filled, then you'll see your exposures after the fact, right? So that is a pro for direct fill. Con for autofill is that you can't see it ahead of time, right? So another thing here is that autofill, the uniques work contest by contest, but when you're in direct fill and you have uniques set to, you know, three and you have all of your contests selected at the same time, then the uniques are working across your entire contest portfolio as opposed to within a single contest. So there's pros and cons to both. I personally use autofill the most because of the time savings, but you got to figure out which one works best for you in the contest that you're playing. All right, next question. Is there a difference after building lineups and running sims in using contest sim ROI or choosing the specific contest and the using ROI? Thanks for satellites. When should we use win rate slash cash rate? Okay, so as long as you're using target ROI and only that contest is selected, there's not a difference as opposed to using the specific contest's ROI. So this goes back to what we just talked about, right? If you're in direct fill and you want to go contest by contest, you have to only choose the contest that you want, or else if I have two selected, if I have three selected, it's going to average however many are chosen. So that's the biggest thing you got to be aware of. Second thing, for satellites, when should we use win rate slash cash rate? So typically satellites are like 100% to first, you know, in the payout structure. So effectively all of your ROI is coming from winning first place. So you don't need to do that. Now, the only time I would consider switching it is if you're playing like a super satellite where you are in a contest where it's like, hey, the top 20 lineups, you know, get a ticket or something like that. And in that case, if you want to use cash rate, just because it makes a little more sense to you, I think that's like fine if you want to do that. So that would just make more sense in my brain, but depends what you want to do. All right. Chris said, do you have a suggested site for researching player or news? Yeah. So it's going to depend on what you want to do, or what sport, right? So that's one thing. But if we're talking about just general player news, the Underdog Twitter accounts are the best source for news, in my opinion, for all sports. So Underdog NBA, Underdog NFL, Underdog MLB, right? They have different accounts for each sport that specialize in those things. So that's a really good option. For like college football, RotoWire has a college football account that they're really good with news on. I think Unabated has an account where they're really good with college football news as well. So you can find those on X. As far as basketball, another good one is Basketball Monster News Dashboard, right? That's another really good one for news. So those are like the main ones for news that come to mind. And then as far as researching players, right? So, you know, there's a number of sites that you can check out. Some that I use for basketball are like Basketball Reference, which is like player game logs and historical data. You can use popcornmachine.net, which is a free tool where you can look at player rotations. You can look at Court IQ by RotoGrinders. It used to be a free tool. I don't know if it's still a free tool. That's a good tool to see how teams play when certain players are on the court, certain players are off the court. You can use, I think footballguys.com has a good like snap count list where it's like pretty readable. It's like, hey, you know, players playing this many snaps, this much percentage of snaps per week. And it gives you like a positional, right? Like these are all the wide receivers. These are all the running backs on a team by team basis. So those are some ones that I'm aware of that I'll use from time to time that I would recommend. All right. Weekend Warrior, if I'm playing multiple contests, is it better to fill one up than run another sim on the next contest I want to play? So we recommend running all of your lineups together in one build, and it just makes it a little bit easier for managing it, right? So even if, you know, I don't know what subscription you're on, but let's say you're on, you know, starter, right? And your main sorting metric is Saber score, right? So say I'm on Saber score and I'm playing a mix of contests. What I would recommend is coming in here and adjusting the rank by method based on the size of the contest you're playing. So for the smaller one, first off, this is a small slate. Maybe it's 100 to 1K. Okay, the next one is like a flagship. Maybe this is small slate, 10 to 50K, right? And then set up your Saber scores. Okay, maybe this one's 1K to 10K, right? Maybe this next one is 50K plus. So go through these, set up all your Saber scores based on the number of entries in the contest that you're optimizing for here, and then just save it appropriately. So for the different contests, we're going to have the same sliders for each of these because we are determining the sliders based on the number of games on the slate. And then we were relying on Saber score or contest sims to differentiate which lineups are best for which sized contest. So that's why I recommend doing it this way. Nancy Drew guy said, I thought that's what you would say. Yeah, you just like give up too much edge by not late swapping. And, you know, we see like weird stuff all the time. You know, the worst is like when no news is expected and then news comes out, right? Like we saw it the other day with Jalen Johnson. He was not questionable. And then 10 minutes before lock, he gets ruled out for the Hawks. And like, that's massive, right? Like behind Trae Young, he is the number two usage player on the team. And him getting rolled out just opens up so many minutes, so much usage on the team. It's just, if you don't swap for it, you're at a huge disadvantage, right? And we saw that like 2 days ago with like Cam Thomas getting ruled out with like a back injury after getting announced starting, right? And then he's out. And then, you know, the Cam Johnson does really good. Dennis Schroeder does really good. Ben Simmons does really good because that's a huge piece of their team missing, right? So if you're not taking advantage of that, you are putting yourself in a huge disadvantage. And we obviously don't want you to do that. All right. Next question. How do you approach adjusting min unique once you late swap? Honestly, what I do is I just set it at the same value from pre-slate, right? So let's say I used 3 min uniques. Well, when you open up your swap build and then you run your lineups, your swap build is not going to have the same number of uniques. All right. I got to take a quick pause, guys. Sorry about that. I heard a very loud thump in my house, followed by crying. So that is never, never good. I'm sure some of you guys can resonate with that. But we are okay. So appreciate you guys hanging out while I stepped away for a quick second. All right. So question was, how do you approach adjusting mini neeks once you late swap? So what I do is I set my mini neeks before the build, and then I open up my late swap. I run my late swap. Typically, when you get into your late swap, your uniques is going to be one. I just set it back to whatever number it was. And then the good thing is, like, if this is an NBA slate and there are multiple late swap windows throughout the night, then what's going to happen is if you continue to use the same build the entire night, your late swaps are going to stay. They're not going to reset ever again. They're only going to reset when you open up a new swap build. So I just leave them, and then I just continue to late swap the whole night, because if you leave them as games lock, those uniques are going to stay, and it's not going to get harder for the builder to meet your request, right? You're keeping it constant throughout the night. So I don't recommend doing anything with it. If you wanted to lower it as the night went on, you can, but that's just not the approach that I've been taking. So I think it's fine to just leave it. All right, next question. For autofill, is it advisable to select the correct ROI per contest or just leave it as ROI? So if you are using target ROI, the builder is doing this for you, right? So what target means, the builder is looking at the name of the contest, and then it is looking to see if it has that name in the list of contest sims run, and then it is using that one. So the target ROI up here is doing exactly that. That is effectively the same as coming into the rank buys, finding the 500 single back, selecting ROI. This is the same as using target. All right. Also, is it okay to change the uniques under the autofill? For example, I typically play more mini uniques in a 3-entry contest than a 20. This is exactly what I do. So what I effectively do is I'll figure out, hey, what mini uniques do I want for like my biggest contest, right? And say I'm playing 150 max. And then say I determine like, hey, 3 uniques is like a good number for 150 max. Well, then I will just, this is a little bit cutting corners, but I've done this like enough times to feel comfortable doing this, where I'll be like, okay, if I'm using 3 uniques for 150, I'm okay using 4 for 20. And then I'm okay using 5 for 3 max, right? So I will scale my mini uniques by the number of entries based on what number I started with for my 150 max. So I've gone through the process of like, okay, what if I look at my 20s, what number can I get to? Oh, hey, I can usually get to like one more pretty safely. And then I just use that as like a rule of thumb going forward. So you could check it every single time. I'm pretty sure you'll get to a point where like you're comfortable with it as well. But that's the process I went through. All right. After you sim, do you make a filter by projection or saber score and then set for over under a number along with the ROI? Okay. So let's say I ran a contest sim, right? And let's say I'm in direct fill. And then we're talking about lineup filter. So I do recommend users use a projection filter just because we see sim average score be a factor in post-contest sims very, very often. So what I'll typically recommend is setting a filter that says show lineups with projection greater than X, and then effectively just adjust X until there are about 10% of your lineups in the trash, right? So we have 500. I don't know what a good number will be, maybe like 95. Nope, that did nothing, right? So let's try 100. 100, I have 6 lineups, so we're getting closer. Try 105. 105 gets me 63 lineups in the trash. This is perfect, right? This is like right above 10% and kind of right where I want to be. So I'm just kind of trimming the bottom lowest projected lineups out of the pool here. Second thing is Saber Score. If you have contest sims, I wouldn't recommend it. Even if you were using Saber Score, I wouldn't recommend it, right? So The two that I really recommend are projection and ROI, right? If you have contest sims, I would go in and set a filter that says, show me lineups with ROI greater than zero. Because you really don't want to play negative ROI lineups across your set of lineups that you take with you into your contest. So this is what I would recommend is projection and ROI. And if you do those two things, you'll be on the right path. All right. Good stuff so far. Caught up with questions from our first round here. Joe said, can you review Giant Squid's build for last NFL? You know, this would actually be a really good thing to do for the build review show tomorrow. So I can't review his build because, you know, he didn't like sign up for the build review show. So I'm not going to like go into his account and like pull up his build, but I will review his lineups, right? So I'm going to make a note here to add Giant Squid to the review list for tomorrow. And we can at least review his lineups in contest flashback, talk about his characteristics of his build. And I will do that. So reminder, we have our build review show on Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you ever want to get signed up, drop your DK username in the office hours channel in our Discord server. Let me know what sport and slate you want me to review, and I will add you to the list. So as part of tomorrow's show, I will at least review his portfolio of lineups from his 5-5-5 milli win last week. All right. With that said, we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate you guys sticking around while I had a brief intermission. And good luck to all of you today. One more question here. If you're sorting by ROI, would you want to set a filter to include ROI greater than zero? Wouldn't that automatically be the case? So it would be good for your top lineups, right? But if you are playing a lot of lineups, then you want to kind of have that safeguard, because if you have a lot of contests with a lot of lineups and you're using min uniques, the builder is going to have to go further and further down in your pool to find enough lineups to play. And then especially if you're using unique rank, where you are telling the builder you do not want to duplicate lineups, you know, that pool can get further and further down. So it's just kind of like a safeguard, putting like a floor there so you don't go too far and end up with negative ROI lineups. But the most likely scenario is that you don't play them, but it is good to have that just in case. So that's the big thing there. But good question. All right. I'll see you guys. Good luck tonight in all your contests. And until tomorrow, take care. Thanks. Bye.